Live from Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, this is Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you three decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. 65 million Americans right now are dealing with this reality. How are you doing? If you're one of those people, you're in the right place. This is the show dedicated just for you, how to help you get to a path to safety where you can catch your breath, take a knee. And let's develop some strategies together. Let's develop some plans together where you can live a calmer and healthier life as you take care of someone. They need you to be that person. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. That's kind of the whole point. And today's a great day to start being a healthy caregiver. Part of that is being right here on the show and being part of a community. If you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755. That is the number. And guess what? Call screener will get you right to the man with the plan, the Baron of the Board, the Sultan of Sound, the Earl of Engineering, the man who said we should all care about Carrie Underwood. He is John Butler, the Count of Mighty Disco, everyone.
I'm all for a nice Nashville shout-out.
Well, she had a big week this week.
Did she now?
Yeah, the CMA things.
Well, I knew the CMAs were going on, but
and
I didn't know.
I think she's like the most award-winning country singer of all time or something like that. I don't know. Big week.
Good for you, Carrie. She's congratulations.
She's done all right. How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. A little warm. A little damp.
How warm is it?
It's so warm that politics... Wait, no, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It's so warm. I saw a bird pulling up a worm, and he was wearing hot pads. Oh, no.
Okay. Well, what is this? The early bird gets the worm. But the second worm.
No, the second mouse gets the cheese.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You know, we're just destroying jokes single-handedly here, aren't
well,
we?
Well, don't mix our metaphors. Now I had something with that, too, but I can't remember what it was. How you doing, Peter?
You know, for a man of my age and limited abilities, I'm all right.
Well, we don't judge.
And thank God for that. I am thrilled to be here today. We got a lot to talk about, and we're going to get into a few things very quickly. By the way, if you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755. I want to welcome all of our affiliates around the country. You know, we picked up Alaska, a station in Alaska.
Really?
We're from Alaska to Jacksonville.
Hello, Alaska.
And I'm stunned by that. We go all the way just all over the country.
When I first started out in radio, I almost took a job up in Alaska.
Where?
There were several places I was looking at, but radio is very important up there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just like bush pilots, who are amazing creatures, by the way.
They are indeed. I knew a guy when I went to college, and he flew his plane down from Alaska. We went to college together, and I was so astonished. This young man, he was like 18, 19, 20 years old, flying his own plane from Alaska to here.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, now that's kind of cool.
You can get pizza delivery. From a bush pilot. I'm telling you, man.
You know, your mind, the way it works.
Well, it's very pizza-centered, so.
Pizza time. All right, look, as is our custom, we do our caregiver tip of the day. Our caregiver tip of the day brought to you by AARP of Tennessee, aarp.org/TN. They have been great friends to this show for a very long time. And have enormous amount of resources for caregivers. Would you please do yourself a favor and check them out? And today's caregiver tip of the day. Okay, I was just making sure you didn't do it again.
Got to keep you on your toes, man.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, you know, I run a prosthetic limb ministry.
Well,
I just wanted to say that. So when you say keep me on my toes, I have some extras.
Don't be a heel about this. All right.
Oh, step up. Today, our caregiver tip of the day, and I've got a blog post about this out at hopeforthecaregiver.com. It's called Protect Your Treasure. Protect Your Treasure. Now, let me give you a little setup for that. There's a support group that I regularly attend, and I really recommend support groups. They're very important. It's a great opportunity for you to hear your story coming out of somebody else's mouth. It's for you to be around other people who are struggling with things that they can't control. And you may not like all the things about it, but that's okay. We get so isolated, we've got to be involved with other people, and we've got to be able to engage. And so Protect Our Treasure it came about one night because I went into this support group, and they have a soda machine there in the room, and it hums over there. It kind of nonchalantly does its thing against the wall. And so I would place the proper change into this machine, and it would deliver a very nicely chilled beverage.
Oh, was this this was your favorite one, wasn't it?
It was, and it was chilled perfectly.
It was just, yeah, the settings were all right.
And so, and I would sit there after a long day in a nice support group, you know, with friends there, and I would have a chilled beverage. And then one night I went in there, and I put my money in there, and no beverage.
No beverage was forthcoming.
No, it was not. And so I was a little vexed, and I dutifully called the number on the thing and said, you know, dude, your machine didn't work.
Took my money.
And I want my money. You got the money. You got the money. And so the next week I showed up and I thought, okay, let's see. And I deposited my money in there and I got two beverages.
Ooh.
So I gave one to a friend. I thought, okay, we're even. Next week.
Everything evens out.
Next week came back, just like a Seinfeld episode. Next week I came back, put my money in there, nothing. Hmm. Well, this time I repeated the process, but I was a little bit more harsh with the machine. I said bad things about the machine and its parentage. And I, you know, I admit to kind of jostling the machine a little bit. I reached my hand up there as high as I could to grab a hold of something. Nothing. I was completely stymied by this machine.
You were left beverageless.
I was beverage deprived. And I came in the next week and I thought, should I? And I tried it one more time. Nothing. And I called, no word. Nobody ever got back to me. And then eventually I threw my hands up and I said, this is not giving me what I'm asking for. I'm doing my part. It's not giving me back. I'm wasting my money. So I decided to bring a nice cold water bottle from home, and I just drink water.
Now, better for you anyway.
Water's better for me than a soda, and I've pretty much taken myself off of sodas anyway. But what's the caregiver lesson in this? And there is one. Sometimes we as caregivers take our treasure, which is our self-worth, our hearts, and we invest it into someone who is broken. They cannot respond back in a way that we can accept, appreciate, understand, or that they can. And we are demanding that they do something that they're not able to do. They're broken. And it's like going into a hardware store and trying to buy a loaf of bread. It just doesn't work. And so it does no good to keep putting money into something, putting your treasure into something, and your treasure is your self-worth. And if you keep putting your self-worth into something that is broken, what is that going to do to your self-worth? I mean, think through that a little bit. You're looking for validation. You're looking for affirmation, and you're depositing the best you have into this. You're depositing hard-earned currency into this, and all you're getting back is air, nothing, nada, zip, bupkis. I just like to throw in a Yiddish word every now and then.
And we love you for it.
And God love you. And I'm thinking, we caregivers do this on a regular basis. We are constantly doing this. And I talk to so many caregivers who are just demoralized because they are pouring themselves into caring for someone that they truly love, but that person is responding back with antagonism, with hate, with sometimes physical abuse. All of the above. All of the above. Stop it. Stop it. All I'm asking you to do is just take a leap of faith that that is not a healthy path and say, you know what? There's a better way for you to understand who your worth is in than for you to keep looking to broken people to affirm you. Now, sometimes it's not disease or impairment in that regard. Sometimes they're just toxic people. Sometimes they're having a bad day, regardless of which, if you keep waking up every day and asking someone else what kind of day you're going to have, how's that going to work out for you? How many days can you do that?
And this is not to say that we don't need, that self-worth is not necessary. That it is, it is actually saying that it is.
It is necessary, but not from broken sources.
And we can choose where and when we get that.
And this is what I have learned for myself. You know, God says I'm worth a lot. So much so that there was a crucifixion involved of his son. Now, why am I allowing somebody else to devalue what he felt was worth this price? And that doesn't mean that all my behavior is to be affirmed, but who I am at my core, the person who I am, my personhood. And this is what we caregivers do. We put our personhood into the hands of somebody who is not prepared to handle that. They are not prepared to deal with this. They are not prepared to give you back the kindness, the affirmation. Even if they wanted to, sometimes they just can't because they're broken. And all you're doing is just devaluing and allowing yourself to be devalued more and more and more, and to the point where you lose yourself in this.
And this is not to say that we're that they are to blame or anything. There's no blame here at all.
I'm not trying to devalue them into it. They're broken. I mean, like I said, you're going to the hardware store and trying to buy a loaf of bread. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. And so what I'm asking you to do, is look to a different source for this. You know, I heard a great quote the other day. It says, you know, Jesus died for all of us, but he also died for each of us. And he knows who you are. And you look through Scripture, and I think sometimes we demand answers. We want to know why is this happening? But there's really nothing that God's going to be able to tell us that we're going to go, oh, yeah, great, now I understand. That makes me feel better. No, but there's an awful lot of assurance in there of his presence, of his love for us, of his everlasting kindness, his faithfulness, his goodness. And we live with broken stuff in this world. I mean, messed up stuff. And into that, though, he speaks promises of, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the end of the story. And yeah, this is painful, but you're not going to do it alone. I'm going to be with you because I love you, because you're valuable. That's a better source of your worth than you to put your treasure into something that's broken. Okay, that's our caregiver tip of the day. Hey, we got more to go. The number is 877-655-6755. 877, write it down, 655-6755. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Count of Mighty Disco is on fire today. Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. If you're following along on Facebook at Hope for the Caregiver, welcome. That's the caregiver cam, by the way. The Caregiver Cam.
Yeah. Oh, right on.
All right, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. The next segment coming up, we're going to talk about a very difficult subject, medically assisted death and the family caregiver. And we're seeing, sadly, all too many suicides in the news. And is there a theme on some of these things? Is there something we can talk about? Does this affect a family caregiver? And I'm going to tell you that it does. And we're going to talk about that. If you've got a thought on that, if you want to talk about that, if you've got an experience with that where you're a family member or something that has been struggling with things like this, this is the time to bring it up. 877-655-6755. And also want to let you know that at the end of next month, I'm going back over to Ghana.
Why would you be going to Ghana?
I'm going to Ghana. I'm taking a team of six, including my wife, who is going after 8 years of not being able to go to the mission she founded with Standing With Hope, which is a presenting sponsor of this show. You hear her ad. She's going to return back. It's a difficult trip for her. Gracie has had now 80 surgeries that I can count, both legs amputated. But when she gave up her legs back in the 90s, she envisioned a way of providing prosthetic limbs to her fellow amputees, and this is what we do. And we train and equip local workers there to build and maintain limbs for their own people. And if you want to see more about that, standingwithhope.com, standingwithhope.com. And go take a look and just see what we're doing. It's an extraordinary ministry, and Gracie has done something really amazing going. And I'm very grateful that she's going. It's going to be a hard trip for her. So not too many double amputee women who've had 80 surgeries make that kind of trip. But she said, you know, Peter Moses, and he's sometimes calls into the show here over in Ghana. He and Joseph work there at the clinic, and they work for Ghana Health Service. But he told her, you know, he actually video conferenced with her while she was getting cast for her own new prosthesis here in Nashville. So I was at a video conference. He was watching her do this. What she is doing for others, having herself done by her prosthetist who set all this up for us and gone anyway. Her personal prosthetist has been over there with us many times. He's not going to be able to go this time, but we're taking another one who also helps with Gracie. And Moses was like, please come back. Please come back. It sends such a message. You know, people with disabilities are not valued a lot in developing countries as much as you would think, as you would hope. And oftentimes not at all. And sometimes they feel like they're cursed. And women with disabilities, even more so. But when Gracie shows up, she throws that paradigm way out the window. And she says, I'm here, and let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lift others up. And you can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com. Standingwithhope.com. And just see her story and see what she's done. Hey, listen, we need to get to our today's senior moment. Today, do we have a theme for that?
No, we were auditioning.
Oh, that's right. We were.
Yeah.
We did Golden Girls one time, didn't
we? That's correct. Yeah. We need to figure out something a little more.
Should we do High Hopes by Frank Sinatra?
That's a good choice. Good choice. But I will never tire of your naming convention on that.
Today's senior moment. I actually gave this out to someone yesterday.
Okay.
When you are dealing with seniors, sometimes if they're not causing trouble, and this really kind of applies across the board to a lot of folks that are dealing with disabilities, but particularly seniors, if the senior is calm and relaxed, everybody just kind of lets it be, let sleeping dogs lie kind of thing. They don't want to disturb it. But that's not necessarily the best thing. And sometimes you have to keep the medical staff involved. And they tend to want to kind of drag this out and be a little bit, hey, we'll wait and see kind of attitude. So today's senior moment brought to you by the friends at Morning Point Senior Living and Memory Care, morningpoint.com, and that's point with an E, is ask this question when you are serving as a caregiver for any medical staff that you're dealing with. What's the next action step? What's the next action step?
I like that.
And that way it forces everybody into a decision mode. Now, the next action step may be to wait. Okay, but how long are we going to wait? You know, and because we're going to wait.
What are the conditions of this wait?
Yeah, we're not going to just see what happens. No, we're going to wait, and then, okay, we'll wait for a week. All right? In 7 days, I will be here asking you what is the next action step. And you train people on how to treat you. Okay? Don't ever forget that. You train people how to treat you. And a lot of caregivers don't wield what I call caregiver authority very often, not nearly like they like I think we should do it. I think it's important for us to recognize how valuable we are to the process. And we have a voice, we have an opinion, and we have an educated opinion because we know our loved one. I don't know the science that my wife deals with, but I have a PhD in her, and I know her. And so I have a responsibility to ask. And you cannot – I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, well, we're just working with the system, and we're trusting the system to work. And I said, no. You don't trust the system. Can I say that any clearer?
I think you got it pretty much on the head.
No. You know, it's one thing. If you were just having a broken arm, maybe. We're not dealing with a broken arm. We're dealing with a long-term medical crisis of some type. The system will chew you up and spit you out. So always be proactive about it. That's our today's senior moment, is to ask, what's the next action step? All right? Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger. Glad you're with us. Follow along on Facebook Live. We're streaming live on the Caregiver Cam at facebook.com/hopeforthecaregiver. We'll see you in just a moment.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. You ever told somebody that the life is wonderful because they're in the world? Maybe somebody needs to hear that. We've seen some celebrity suicides this week, and we've seen some tragic things unfolding over the last several years in this regards, and it's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand what happens to someone. And then I saw this thing from Charles Krauthammer, and I don't know how many of you all know Dr. Krauthammer. He's a correspondent on Fox News and a writer, a thinker, a speaker. But this is he's a psychiatrist by training. He said he's a psychiatrist in remission. And which I thought was a great line.
I like that.
Psychiatrist in remission. And Charles Krauthammer was injured in an accident in his first year of medical school back in 1974, left him as a quadriplegic. And he has been out for about 10 months, and then all of a sudden was planning on coming back, and then they found significant cancer, And he just released a statement on Friday that he has weeks to live. And in his letter, he said it's been an amazing journey. He thanked his caregivers. He was at peace with all that was getting ready to happen to him. And he faced and is facing death the same way he's faced life, with great dignity, even though it's frightening and challenging and all the things he's dealt with. And you have to ask, you know, okay, what's going on? What's the difference? Because here's somebody who has lived with quadriplegia and made an extraordinary life out of it. And then here's others who have taken a tragic decision to end their own life when they had money and fame and no health issues whatsoever. And you have to ask, okay, what happens to this? What, why does somebody think like this? And then I put it into context of it's an article I've recently written. And the Our Choice, Our Care, Our Choice Act, state of Hawaii, recently legalized medically assisted death. Now, there's like seven states, I think, now are on board with this, John. Does that sound about right to you?
It sounds about right to me. I need to pull it up. But
and I think more legislation is coming in other states. And for those wanting to end their lives, the act requires two witnesses attesting to the patient's desire for death and two doctors agreeing that the patient has 6 months or fewer to live. And while, you know, mental health evaluations are normally prescribed for those who unsuccessfully attempt to end their life, this legislation requires the evaluation to successfully end one's life. And some are calling this physician-assisted suicide. Well, physicians are not necessarily administering the lethal drugs. They may provide them, but they're not administering them, okay? And that's from what I understand on this. And others are calling it state-sanctioned suicide, inferring that the state is codifying the act. Legally, however, it's not deemed suicide if performed according to the act's procedural outline, okay? Regardless of the name of this, the outcome still remains the same. A life is being ended purposely. Now, bluntly speaking, for those weighing suicide as an option, and John, you and I have talked about this, the sole impediment is an innate moral boundary shifted only by impairment, disease, or societal manipulation. That's it. That's the only thing that's impairing somebody, I mean, stopping somebody from taking their own life, is this moral boundary that they have. But this moral boundary gets shifted at times because of impairment, because of disease, or, in this case, societal manipulation. Now, this move to legislate the acts, it raises a couple of questions and concerns, and that's what we're going to talk about here a little bit today. 877-655-6755, if you want to weigh in on this. The act states that the fatal dose of prescriptions is to be self-administered. If physically unable to administer the dosage of drugs for themselves, who's going to be doing this? Is it a friend or family member or caregiver? Also, once the qualified patient decides to take their own life, they are to be counseled by their doctor to avoid ending their life alone or in a public place. So who is present? And again, it's the attending caregiver, not the attending doctor, remains the most likely choice. And then you got instructions regarding the well-being of the caregiver left to deal with the emotional consequences remain unclear. You're standing by watching this as a caregiver, and then what's it? You know, how do you deal with this? The law requires a mental health evaluation for the patient, but it omits the same evaluation for those caring for the patient. Should the patient complete this act, the caregiver remains to live with the guilt, sorrow, anger, resentment, and other feelings that often come in conflicting waves. Well, now, caregivers may not have a legal voice in this. They can certainly claim a stake in it, as well as the consequences. And this is what concerns me about this. And when you're discussing medically assisted death, it's often framed with compassion. But is it also not compassionate to encourage suffering loved ones and remind them of their lives' importance, just like we just heard that great song by Elton John, How Wonderful Life Is Because You're in the World. Is life only valuable if pain-free and death remains further out than 6 months? That's a question. When I first saw this thing, that's the first thing I asked. Wait a minute. What, 6 months? Where did that come from? Why 6 months? Why are we having this date of 6 months? What about next year? Are they going to change it to 6 months and 4 days? 6 months and 2 weeks? Why the arbitrary number of 6 months? Just because it's an easy way to fit into our calendar? You know, in many cases, a caregiver is the primary voice heard by someone suffering. A caregiver's words and attitudes can compound the feelings of despair, and they can strengthen. But emotionally unhealthy caregivers, they struggle to offer that strength and encouragement. But healthy caregivers can speak words of life and value to a suffering loved one, even those facing a difficult death looming on the horizon. I've been a caregiver for a wife with severe disabilities and in chronic pain for more than 30 years. My wife has not known a day without relentless pain. This morning, I was helping rub lidocaine ointment on my wife all over her back because we woke up to a thunderstorm in Tennessee, and the low-pressure system just causes her arthritis to just go into overdrive. We call it stove up in the old days. Do you ever heard that word?
I'm from Arkansas, and I haven't heard that.
Well, she stove up, you know, and that her when you had as many breaks as she did in her wreck 35 years ago. Just think about when the weather changes. And I understand the heartache in watching someone in agony. When you serve as a bystander to relentless suffering, it can leave you so torn, exhausted, disoriented, distraught, all those words. And it's difficult to really understand even the right path in such a condition. Yet those times are not without great meaning either, even joy, even during grim circumstances. Now, we may never feel better about the harsh things that we experience or observe. I know my wife's never going to feel better about missing legs and the pain she's in, and I'm never going to feel better about watching her endure it. But is the goal to feel better? Is that the goal? Or is the goal to be better in it? And trust that there is life to be lived in this. When we grant legal permission for suffering patients to end their lives, it may offer a path to what some call dying with dignity. But in doing so, we possibly deprive those who suffer, as well as those who care for them, the opportunity to embrace the challenges they're in while still living with dignity. And what concerned me about this thing that's going on across our culture, John, is that the state is weighing into this and codifying this. We've taken the decisions, these medical decisions and all these things, out of the home, out of the doctor's office, out of the pastor's office, and we're putting it into the state legislature. And that always sends alarm bells to me. Where does your headspace on that?
I very much the same place. I whenever we start to have a top-down sort of control over something, I get very, very nervous. Not necessarily, it doesn't immediately disqualify something like that, but something that is as important as this, which there are, if we're approaching it from a position of, you know, emotional and intellectual honesty, we need to consider everything as, you know, approach it from a position of ignorance. Okay, well, morally, what are we talking about here? And everything like that. But whenever you have the state saying this is how it's going to be, with something as important as this, that's a very personal thing. It's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
I think
you can't put everybody in the same basket here. We're dealing with individuals with their own moral codes and their own set of problems and their own set of challenges.
Well, and I noticed that the first thing they do is they don't consider the caregiver involved, who is an integral part. And I looked at Charles Krauthammer. He was thanking his caregivers for his journey. Now, he's not ending his life. He's playing it out to the very end, with quadriplegia and now cancer.
And when you ask where my headspace is on this, What I want to do is encourage that sort of behavior. I want to hold that up as an example of the best of us.
Again, the goal is not to feel better, is to be better.
Yes.
And then I'm also equally concerned that when the state starts saying this is okay if you're in this much pain and your life has this level of quality, it's okay to check out. Because now we've already established that it's okay to check out if conditions are met. So what does that say to the rest of society? And you look at these celebrities that are taking themselves, they're in so much pain that they're killing themselves, but what we've done is we've devalued it to the point where they're thinking, okay, this is an option now. And if even though and suicide is always an option for people, it's just not a very good option, but it's always an option. And the only thing that stops it is something in your own heart. But if now the state is externally saying, well, here are the conditions where we think this will be okay, it sends a ripple effect into the rest of society and said, well, if you're in enough pain and turmoil, go ahead and just take yourself out.
And that's the big question that I have with a lot of this is, you know, all the details that are necessary for a law to get passed and to put something on paper, that level of detail makes this a really terrible instrument to deal with this subject.
I could not agree more. I am just
take a step back and like what you said, the state says this is okay now under these circumstances, but you have to define those circumstances, and we're dealing with individuals again. And some like what you started this segment with was, what is the difference between someone like Charles Krauthammer and someone who experiences tragedy like Robin Williams or something like that? There is clearly a difference there, and because there was a difference of effect. But what is – so the state is ill-equipped to deal with those individual differences.
I think if nothing else, if you're left with nothing else, the state is ill-equipped. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on the show, 877-655-6755. John says I have to give out the number a lot.
Well,
877-655-6755.
There is something else that I wanted to say, and if you or a loved one is in this dark place.
Yes, you have this number, and I'm going to put it on Facebook as well. We're streaming the show live on Facebook. Here's a number you can call if this is where your headspace is right now.
Yeah, and it's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It is 1-800-273-8255. And because it is, you're already in a tragic situation if you're considering this, and or if a loved one is considering this, and let's try to mitigate that as much as we can.
Well,
I think that's where, like I said, holding up the good example as opposed to disparaging the failures that we have and the tragedies that we have, just holding up the good example of someone like Dr. Krauthammer.
22 veterans a day are taking their own lives. And in Florida, I saw a study not too terribly long ago where you had every 2 weeks, a caregiver is taking the life of their loved one and themselves because they've reached the end of their rope. We can be better than this. And life is worth living in this. I look at my own situation. That's the only thing I have. And I see Gracie living with pain, with amputation, with all these things she's done. And yet she's clung to this life in Christ. She saw something in her relationship with God that transcended all of this. Would you like that? Would you like to hold on to that? Come on back. We've got more. We're going to talk about that. This is Hope for the Caregiver. I'm Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Call me old. I still love it.
Oh, it's a fantastic song.
It is. Who was that?
It wasn't Bobby Darin. It was the other Bobby. Bobby Darin did a version of this, but that.
Well,
was,
I've heard Harry Connick. I've heard Michael Bublé. I think has done a version. Frank.
Oh yeah.
And Frank did a version. Hey, welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, Somewhere Beyond the Sea, and the Count of Mighty Disco, John Butler, is always joining us. We've been having a very thought-provoking conversation about medically assisted death, and it's a tough topic. We've got a culture that seems to just revel in death sometimes, and we think this is the easy way. You know, we're in pain. We need to just go ahead and take ourselves out or whatever, and states are codifying this, and we're somewhat concerned because caregivers get caught up in this too, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to think. We get so disoriented in this. Let me tell you a story. Several years back, I was over in Accra, Ghana, and our work with prosthetics, and we have a prosthetic limb ministry. We're going to go over there next month. We're taking a team, and we put legs on amputees. And some of the limbs that we get the materials we get come from donated used limbs that come from around the country. And they go to a local prison that CoreCivic runs, and they have a faith-based program there where inmates volunteer to strip down the legs so we can reuse the parts, all the knees, the pylons, the feet, everything that can be recycled. And we'll send all of that, we'll inventory it and send it all over to West Africa, and then we'll buy new parts and build a custom fit leg over there. And there was a guy named Kwame that came into the clinic. I'll never forget this. And Kwame was pretty angry. He was pretty upset. And he was a farmer who lost his leg and was struggling to understand why God would allow such a tragedy in his life. And that's a question a lot of people face. When they're faced with tragedy, we immediately go to the theological sometimes when somebody do. Why would God allow this? And everybody at different points, even Gracie, tried to talk with Kwame and just say, you know, try to explain things or whatever, try to somehow reason with him. He wasn't buying any of it. And he was just angry. You ever known somebody that was just angry about the way things were unfolding in their life and they were just bristly about it and nobody was getting anywhere? But we continued to build his leg. And then I sat down with Kwame, and everybody had talked with him but me. And I sat down with him at the end, and I was explaining how to use all the different things we provide them with, and we go through a whole training thing on how to wash and cleanse the liner and the sleeve that we provide and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking with him. I wanted just to share something with him on a heart level to somehow penetrate that anger that he had. And I was looking at his foot, this new foot that we put on him. And it was a really cool foot. It had a shock absorber spring to it. It's a very high performance carbon fiber foot. And I recognized the foot because it belonged to Gracie. It was one of hers that she had used, and she donated one of her own feet to this. And I looked over at Gracie. She's over the room talking to someone else, and she was wearing her own prosthesis. She's gone through lots of prosthesis over the years, but the one she donated, this one she wore when she stood next to President George W. Bush. She had sung for an event with him, and she stood next to the president wearing that foot that now Kwame was wearing. And I looked at Kwame and I said, you know what? I know you're angry at God, Kwame. I know you are. And we all hear it and recognize that your pain is great. And I said, but look at that woman over there. And I pointed to Gracie, and she was completely oblivious to the conversation Kwame and I were having. And I said, she lost both legs, and she trusted God with her pain. She trusted God. It took a lot. I watched her do it. And she trusted God with great loss. And because of that, you're walking on her faith. You are literally standing on her faith. Every step you take is because she believed God would use her tragedy, her heartbreak, to lift others up and accomplish his purpose. That's why our company is called Standing with Hope. And when I said that to Kwame, all I got were teeth. He just smiled. He got it. Where a theological argument failed, a foot prevailed. We literally got a foot in the door. And Kwame was able to go walking and leaping and praising God. This is what we do. This is why we do this show. This is why we do the prosthetic limb ministry. You can see all about it at standingwithhope.com. What do you have in your life that you can trust God with that can be a source of great strength to others? Think about that today. We're going to talk more about this next week. We'll see you at standingwithhope.com. Bye-bye.